Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek.
Get altered, get geeky, it's a wild ride. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Altered Geek Podcast, remember the name.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. In this adventure this week into geekdom, I am joined by TFG1 Mike.
I think my left arm has a mind of its own now, and I don't like it.
Now the dang thing gonna fall off now.
Well, it might as well. I mean, we don't do these things on camera, folks, but literally, I feel like no arms podcaster. Literally, I would be sitting here just talking. I wouldn't be. Normally I'm one of those types of people, when I'm really excited about something or when I'm angry about something, I usually am moving my left arm around a lot. Can't do that anymore.
No Batman for you.
Exactly. No Batman for you. Hey, 20th anniversary of that first film for 2005, 2025.
I haven't actually gone back to it yet, so I've thought about it.
We're going to. We got to get to that before the end of the year. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. That comes later, folks.
Not going to do it. Nope. Not going to do it.
Oh, God.
Anyways, so, yeah, there's a few things that we're going to talk about on this episode. Some of it is, you know, related to the Bond franchise. Some of it is about video games. Some of it is about AI. Some of it is about Hulu, podcasting, and SNL. What do those things have in common? Nothing. But it's fun to talk about anyway. So,
well, I mean, technically podcasting ties them all together, because that's what we do about all of those things, because we end up podcasting about them.
So the first one we have was rather interesting and stupid, almost akin to the whole restaurant situation with the logo.
Yes,
another marketing genius that thought it would be a great idea to edit something.
I don't know who at Amazon thought this up. I don't know if it was Bezos. I don't know if it was somebody that works for him. I honestly don't know. But seriously, folks, in, what is it, 63? Hold on, what's the math on that? Meth. Meth is bad, folks. Don't do meth. 62. In 63 years, over 25 official films, because there have been a couple unofficial films, but 25 official films, nobody, to my knowledge, has ever complained about the fact that any of the James Bond characters, whomever the actor is that's playing the character of James Bond, whether that be Sean Connery, George Lazenby, Roger Moore, Pierce Brosnan, Timothy Dalton, Daniel Craig, whoever's playing him, nobody, but nobody has ever complained about James Bond holding the Walther PPK pistol on the cover of the damn DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, whatever, digital posters, whatever, posters in general. Oh my God. Nobody's ever complained about that, because the Walther PPK that James Bond holds is his unique gun to that character. And I know it has a more in-depth name and number and whatever. You know the name, you know the number, you figure it out, folks. But basically, that's what it is. Well, some moron at Amazon, either Bezos himself or somebody he gave a marching order to, decided that online on Amazon Prime that they would remove all of the guns off of the digital poster cards. Okay, look, if you are for or against the Second Amendment, I don't care. This isn't about politics. It's a flipping movie card for a thing you watch on Amazon Prime. You're looking at this thing for maybe half a second. You ain't staring into Pierce Brosnan's eyes for 20 minutes, and all of a sudden you look down and he's holding a damn gun. Oh my God. Like, what are they going to do next? Use AI to remove all the guns out of the movies for the last 63 years? Let's hope the not, because that's where. Ooh, it, yeah, no. No, don't, and stop. Knock this crap off. This is ridiculous. It makes these and they're not even posters. They're digital cards. That's what they are. They're digital cards for the movies that you watch on Amazon. But they make them look so stupid now. It's ridiculous. I mean, And I'm currently in the middle of going back through the Brosnan era, because the Brosnan era is my favorite personal era of Bond, because that's the era of Bond that I really latched onto. I was too young, kind of, for the Dalton era. Dalton was, I think, 86 and 89 or 87 and 89. I forget. I know License to Kill was 1989. I forget when The Living Daylights came out, and I'm not looking it up right now, so that's fine. But, and I had seen as a kid various Roger Moore movies. I had seen various Sean Connery entries. But for me, my entry into Bond and my discovery of the character was when Pierce Brosnan brought the franchise back after 6 years. There was a 6-year gap between License to Kill and GoldenEye in 95. We weren't even sure if Bond was coming back at all. We thought License to Kill was the end of the Bond franchise in 1989. That was it. No more Bond after that. License to Kill is a pretty damn good movie, in my personal opinion, from the last time I remember watching it. I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. But at that time in 1989, we thought, even though I was only 9 years old, but everyone thought, oh my God, it's the end. And then in 1995, we get GoldenEye, and it is like literal, you know, angels from the heavens singing. It's amazing. It's whatever. I recently just finished recording an episode of Studio 2009 covering the 30th anniversary of the film. I don't know when that'll be out. It'll be out way past this, so I know I can already say this, that it's coming. It'll be released after this will. But, you know, it's just like one of those things where nobody was complaining about this. This wasn't like the 80s, where you had parental groups complaining about certain cartoons or complaining about certain things on television or whatever. You know, I don't want to confuse the two, but I forget what the parental group was for the media in the 80s, but I'm going to use the Mothers Against Drunk Driving as an allegory. I'm not saying they're the same thing. I'm not, I'm just saying there was some similar parental group about media, about television and cartoons and things like that in the 80s. So yeah, I don't think anybody was screaming at the top of their lungs for Amazon to remove the guns out of the digital cards that you look at for 2.5 seconds or less. And these just look stupid. Don't do this.
The whole point of Bond is the fact he has the gun.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
he drinks. He has the ladies. He has the gun. He has a special car. Like, there's just nothing.
He's a British spy. Yeah. Like, that's like telling Tom Cruise not to have a gun on any Mission Impossible digital card or whatever on Amazon or any streaming service. That's like telling Tom Cruise or any of the poster people that make the posters for the Mission movies to not have him hang off the side of a plane. Look, again, this is a 2-second thing of, It's a card on Amazon Prime. When you go to, again, using GoldenEye as the example, since it's its 30th anniversary this year, if you go to rent or purchase GoldenEye on Amazon Prime, because I don't think it's in, I don't know if it's included in streaming, but that's why I just said if you go to rent or purchase it, I'm sure you're only looking at that digital art for less than 2 seconds because you know what you want. You want GoldenEye. You want to watch the film. And that 2 seconds of seeing that, the recognition of seeing Pierce Brosnan holding the Walther PPK, oh, yeah, cool. Now I can watch the movie. Yay. But now you're going to look at it like, why does it look like he's holding his collar? And he's not even really holding his collar. He just looks like he has his fist in the air, like he's going to punch somebody. But actually, in actuality, the way that it looks now, it looks like he's going to punch himself in the face. And don't do that. Like, it's so stupid. And yes, folks, we understand there are more important things out there in the world as far as first world problems and all that stuff. But this is the Geekcast Radio Network. We are here to bring the fun and bring the reactions like how I'm having to this story. Like, oh, my God, Felicia.
It was a pretty poor choice, though. Like,
I
quite honestly, I was surprised that they decided to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's dumb.
It's so
it really
dumb.
Is.
It makes the posters look worse. And again, for like 2 seconds of a digital art card on Amazon Prime, you're not like, but it just, it just makes it look worse. Like, so I clicked on the thing that they have in the story here. So they reference Dr. No of You to a Kill, GoldenEye, and Spectre. I know that in Dr. No, Connery has, because he's got his arms crossed, he has the gun in his right hand pointing towards his left shoulder. I forget where Roger Moore has it because his arms are down by his sides. And I forget, I think Craig has the gun in his hands. But again, I can't see his hands because the poster is cropped, whatever. But I mean, the Dr. No poster with Sean Connery, it looks like he's just mad at the villain. Like, it looks like he's just crossing his arms. Like, that's ridiculous. Don't do that. What's the matter for you?
The posters just look goofy in general, though.
Without the guns, you mean? Please tell me. Okay. Oh, boy. I was about to.
It just looks stupid. Like they're a bunch of hipsters doing a clothing commercial.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
It looks literally stupid. Like I've not seen like a full Bond movie, to be honest.
Okay.
But I find it ridiculous that they were like, oh, this is a great idea.
Yeah. So I'm pulling up the full slate of how all of the films look. I just sent it to you. It's just weird. I don't know. I'm sure I could pick out, like, I think GoldenEye would probably be the one I would recommend to you the most, not just because I know what you like or whatever, but it's probably the most easily accessible one, I think. But just looking at these, it's just, it's just bad. Don't do this, Amazon. Please don't do this. Reverse your decision. Put the barrel back, Amazon. Put the barrel back. It's just so bad. It just looks like a bunch of spies with their arms crossed. Or the worst one, I think, is by far... So again, the Pierce Brosnan era, because the Pierce Brosnan era is 30 years old this year. The Tomorrow Never Dies poster. He looks like he's just got his arms crossed. The world is not enough. He looks like he's just holding his hands down by his stomach there. And then Die Another Day. I couldn't, again, his hands are just down by his side. It's just no. No, don't stop. Mm-mm. Nope, nope, nope. Not a thing. Reverse your decision, Amazon. Reverse it faster than Cracker Barrel, please. Hurry up.
Yeah, Cracker Barrel was, that was, yeah.
That was lame, but this is even worse. Like, this is just, like, Cracker Barrel lost billions of dollars off of their decision. I don't think Amazon's going to lose too much of this, of their business off of this, but just people are going to be way mad at them about this. But honestly, at this point, I own several of the Bond films in other places besides Amazon, so I'm not really too worried about it, but this still makes me upset because it's taking away from the character, and that's just dumb. Don't do that. Because it's a, as Ben Affleck says in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, it's a fictional character. Like, James Bond holding a gun in a movie poster is not going to, at least I hope, it's not going to make people go out and do stupid things. But stranger things have happened.
True, true.
All right. Next up, you had everything about video games is getting more confusing and obviously more expensive.
Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely getting expensive on a whole. Like, Microsoft about a week ago dropped that they're announcing changes to their Game Pass subscription service, which means also a price hike whenever, you know, they're doing crap like that.
Yep.
And what's interesting about it is they, you know, the Ultimate Game Pass is now $30 a month, $29.99, jump $10. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more games and features are being added to justify it. There have also been name changes. What used to be known as the core tier is now called essential, while standard is now premium. There are a bunch of like, they had a bunch of charts on how to figure out what, you know, what the difference between them are. And, you know, all subscription prices always rise. But they were commenting about the fact that it feels off that they did it at this certain point in time. Like, it's a few weeks removed from like the Xbox hardware getting more expensive to the point that Xbox Series X now costs $150 more than it did at launch 5 years ago.
That's not right.
No, and this is my thing now with games. I actually prefer Steam because, one, I'll get old games discounted.
Yep.
And play the crap out of them.
Yep.
I do miss the days of having a CD or DVD ROM with the games on them and having the entire game.
Yes.
I'm so over, like, I have the Dragon Ball Z Sparking Zero game. I have none of the DLC. I don't have the season pass. I don't have any of it because, one, the season pass is like $40. But the thing is they claim that all the, you know, the season pass is like, oh, unlock new characters. No, it's actually a character that exists in the game with a different skin and, you know, a little bit different movement pack to the character, but it's the same character essentially in a lot of cases. So they, they're like over 200 characters when it's really only like 100 because 100 of those are transformations.
Right.
And then there's no new story to the game, which I'd be more apt to pay for some DLC if, like, yes, I mean, it's nice to have the other, you know, transformations and stuff in the game, and it makes it more fun in that regard. I want more story.
Yep.
Like, I play a game for the story. Like, I can tolerate like Super Smash Brothers and, you know, stuff like that, where there's, you know, the tournament mode type stuff where it's not so story based. Yeah. Like Smash Brothers, I prefer the tournament over the story.
Yeah.
If I'm playing Dragon Ball Z, I know the mythos. I enjoy the mythos. So I want to play the storyline.
Yeah.
And it's like playing, you know, the Arkham games. They have campaign. They have the little tournament modes where you're doing like certain tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have the story, and I play it for the story. Like, I don't care about picking up Riddler trophies. I don't care about all the side quests. I want to play the main story.
Yep.
And like, I've got all the Arkham games now.
Yeah.
I used to own all the Arkham games on the 360.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, that's the thing. Back in the day when we still had physical discs for games and stuff like that, I remember we talked about this, and when we were associated with the other network that we used to be associated with, they shall not be named. But when all of us were talking about this, some of us were like, oh, I don't mind paying this extra amount of price for getting this amount of extra content, because it's cool for getting that amount of extra content. Sometimes it's a story mode. Sometimes it's a game character. Sometimes it's more of a physical edition. Like the Arkham, is it Asylum City? Or I think it was either Asylum and City, or maybe it was just City. The Arkham City, like ultimate game geek gamer edition thing or whatever, you could get certain for like $100, you could get this and this and this, and you can get this exclusive character because it was exclusive to either GameStop or wherever, or you could pay $125 and you can get all this other extra stuff with a little bit of extra story. But the whole point is you're paying that extra price for the actual physical swag you were going to get. Now, here in 2025, although all these years, you know, 16 and a half, 17 and a half years later, 20 years later, whatever you want to call it, everything is digital. And all of the digital stuff prices for exclusive editions, whatever, it's for the digital content. But unfortunately, the digital content is only offering you 1,000 skins for this price, or 100 skins for this price, or this. And look, it would be fine, cool, and fun to, you know, go bombing around in the Batmobile as Batman Beyond in Arkham City, but that's not adding to the story. And I know now, you know, Arkham City was 2015. A decade after the fact, they're not going to add new story to that. But it's one of those things where, as new games do come out from DC and Marvel and other things, you would hope that they would factor in the fact that everything is now digital, and that they would give you some sort of weird opportunities if you wanted to pay an extra cost to do something other than just get this exclusive character.
Yeah, I mean, I recently picked up Arkham Asylum and Arkham Origins. Like, I already had Arkham City and Arkham Knight from a previous sale a couple of years ago on Steam. And originally, I owned Arkham City on EA Play, but EA lost the rights to it, and Steam got it. So I had to rebuy it, which is the annoying part of having it on a streaming service as opposed to a physical disc. I picked up Arkham Origins and Arkham Asylum for $10.
Nice.
And it's the Game of the Year edition for Arkham Asylum, but Arkham Origins, it comes with the Mr. Freeze add-on. I didn't care about the original. Like, there's an add-on that takes place at the very beginning of the game for, like, the ninja training.
Yep.
And with Shiva, and I hated that level when I had the game originally on the 360. So I was like, I am not buying that.
No.
And then all of the skins, like the different costumes for Batman in Arkham Origins, I was kind of like, eh. like you get Whitest Night Batman, you know, from like, or the White Lantern Batman, you get like Year One and, you know, like Gotham by Gas, you know, Gaslight or whatever. And then you get a bunch of other ones. And I'm like, I don't really care about any of these. And so I was like, I'm not buying these. And so it made it cheaper for me. You know, whereas like Arkham City, I was like, I need all of it.
Yep.
Arkham Knight, I would be tempted, except for the fact I can't get past the Batmobile stage.
Oh, no.
Because it's timed.
Oh,
and you're being
no.
shot at by these yep. mega tanks. And I couldn't get past that. So I'm just like, you know what? Forget it. Don't care. So I gave up at that point and moved on, and I went back to Arkham City, and I'm playing Arkham Asylum presently, and I think I'm halfway through, maybe not halfway through, maybe like quarter of the way through the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll play like Arkham Origins after, just because. So
cool. Very cool, very cool. But yeah, no, the entry to video games in 2025 is just so, man, it's just so mind-boggling sometimes. I mean, sometimes there are, like you said, good deals on Steam and things like that and everything else, but it's just crazy. It's just so crazy. Which is why I don't play video games like I used to. So
yep, yeah, same here. Yeah, I'm not a fan of all of these services. Like I prefer Steam just because I don't have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have access, like it's just a store. In an app that it runs through for authentication. So
yep.
I'm down with that. I'm fine. So.
Yep. I was trying to find, before we move off the video game stuff, I was trying to find if there was going to be new Batman games coming up. I know we have the Lego Batman, the new Lego Batman game that's supposedly, well, not supposedly, but it is coming. But, yeah, I can't find anything else other than that. So.
But outside of that, then we have stuff about AI being, you know, really scary, and, you know, Hollywood agencies having a, like, essentially an AI-generated actress.
Mm-hmm.
That Tilly Norwood.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, hire me. And, you know, and agencies are trying to sign it. And I'm like, dude, you can't sign something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like, do you realize the logic here? Plus, how are you going to cast it next to other people?
Yeah.
It would have to be digitally inserted later.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Very stupid.
I'm not going to dwell on it very long,
but
it's getting seriously like pretty freaky. Like I don't mind it as like a tool. I don't want it as like an actor. I don't want it as a voice actor.
Nope.
I want humans.
Yep.
I like it for, you know, key things that are just helping me get things rewrote or, you know, working on certain tasks, but I don't necessarily need it to replace
AI
a human.
AI as a tool for programs and for productivity is fine. AI to replace humans, that's flipping bad, people. Stop it.
Then of course we're getting like, I mean, this, I noticed this while I was going through the Variety article about the AI thing, and I'm just going to touch on the titles, not necessarily comment on all of them, but
okay.
Since two of our articles are from Variety.
Yep.
George Clooney says Ocean's 14 just got approved and they'll start filming next year.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that's still alive is tentatively coming back.
I'll believe it when I see a trailer.
They just got the budget approved by Warner Brothers, so yeah.
Just because they got the budget approved doesn't mean that production has begun. I'll believe it when I see a damn trailer.
Well, I can believe it before the trailer. It's just, it needs to be from a reputable source.
Yeah.
And Variety is a reputable source.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying anything against Variety.
And then Netflix is setting to do a Clue competition series. Unscripted from Hasbro.
I saw that and I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because I keep seeing this thing. It's either on Instagram or Facebook. I keep seeing this thing about a Clue documentary. I have to do more research on it. I have to do a couple of Google searches on it. But and I'm like, wait, what? OK, yeah, this is the 40th anniversary of Clue this year because the movie came out in 85. But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what Hasbro does with Clue. Funny thing is, the 4K release either is it coming out? It's coming out. I don't think it's out yet. And I don't think it'll be out by the time you release this episode. The 4K release of Clue is coming out. And I do know because I do plan on getting it for review, not the DVD, unfortunately, but the soundtrack will be released by Low End Records. I do plan on getting that because I've had Clue on whichever thing I have it on for years. It was Steve Megatron in the studio with the microphone. Stop using me as a weapon. Anyway. But yeah. And then the other thing we have from Variety is the fact that Disney Plus has set a date for Hulu to replace Star as its global entertainment brand. And it is adding new integrated features ahead of Hulu app phase out. So Hulu has been integrated into the Disney Plus app for a while now. I have had a Hulu subscription on the Hulu app that's going to be phased out for the longest time. I haven't in the last few months because I pay for Disney Plus annually. So once it phased in, because Disney owns ABC and ABC, Hulu, yada, 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 all that stuff. So Disney is in the process of winding down Hulu's standalone app and service fully integrates in Hulu into Disney Plus, as I said. At the same time, the Mouse House is doubling down on the Hulu brand, including taking it global. As of October 8th, well, that's today, Hulu will become the global general entertainment brand on Disney Plus in non-US markets, replacing Star, the Star title. With this change, and in preparation for what Disney is promising, will be a fully integrated, unified app experience in 2026. Disney Plus customers will begin to see further integrations of Hulu across Disney Plus app as part of across the Disney Plus app as an ongoing interactive slate of product updates on the homepage and beyond, the company announced Thursday. Hey, look, you know, that's good. If I only have to go to one, look, we all talk about how you get an app, pay for this service, pay for that service, look, I get it. Not really anyone wants any one of these giant corporations to own everything. But honestly, with Disney, with everything they do own, I would rather have all of their stuff under Disney Plus than to have seven different apps to go to.
Oh, I agree with you.
The only thing, and I don't know if anyone at Disney is going to ever hear me say this, but I'm going to say it because gold darn it, it needs to be said. Disney and Disney Plus, whoever is in charge over there of adding things that you own to your streaming service, put the 7D on the app.
It's not on there, and that's their program, isn't it?
Yes! Yes, it's their program, and no, it's not on there. It has never been on there since 2019. That was my first question before I even wanted to sign up for a free trial of Disney Plus in 2019. My first question was, is the 7D on Disney Plus? And it has never been on Disney Plus. It has only ever been on their other whatever other apps they had at the time before Disney Plus became the big, big thing. But no, every time I go to search for it, it never pops up or anything like that. Yeah, I can buy it on Amazon. They might change the title cards. That would be bad, but there's nothing bad about the 7D title cards. No, I'm on Amazon. I'm on Amazon. I'm on Disney Plus right now. I just searched for the 7D. The first thing that pops up is The Adventures of Andre and Wally B, whoever the hell they are. I have no clue. No clue. But the 7D has never been on Disney Plus ever since 2019 when the app launched.
Weird. You would think they'd have it, though. I mean, it's theirs.
And it was fairly popular. I mean, it only got... What does it have? Two or three seasons? I forget off the top of my head. I think it only has two seasons. I think it only got two seasons, unfortunately. That was the bad part. It only got two seasons. Son of a blemish. Yeah, it only got two seasons. It has 47 segments for the first season and 40 so basically 24 episodes for the first season, 20 episodes for the second season. So it has 44 episodes total. So it didn't reach the magical Disney 65. If you reach the magical Disney 65, you're golden, folks, but literally last year was the 10th anniversary. July 7th of last year would be the 10th anniversary of when Disney, the 7D premiered. Broadcast, video games. Yeah, it says nothing about, it says broadcast, but it says nothing about any media release or reception whatsoever. It doesn't even list, the Wikipedia article doesn't even list the fact media releases on the fact that it's on Amazon or that it's on, because I know it's on iTunes or Apple or whatever you want to call it, you know. So, but yeah, how it's not on, how the 7D is not on Disney Plus is beyond me. And for those that don't know, just so we can move on from this, and the whole point of this whole story initially was that Hulu is now going to be the global adult, not quote unquote adult, but the global adult version channel thing for Disney Plus.
Kind of like ESPN and the
instead of Star in other network, other countries besides the US. But for those that don't know about the 7D, it's basically Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs without the stupid stuff like Snow White and the Queen. I mean, there is a Queen, but it's better than what we get with Snow White. The 7D, American Animated Television Series, produced by Disney Television Animation, which premiered on Disney XD July 7th. Reimagining of the title characters from the 1937 film Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Walt Disney Animation Studio. And the greatest thing about this, show, is you have Kevin Michael Richardson voicing Happy, Billy West voicing Bashful, Bill Farmer voicing, you got Goofy voicing Doc. You got vocal effects provided by D. Bradley Baker for Dopey. Grumpy is voiced by none other than Da Brain, Maurice LaMarche. Sleepy is voiced by Stephen Stanton, and then Sneezy is voiced by Scott Menville. It's just Grumpy and Happy get into so many crazy so many crazy things, because hello, Grumpy's always grumpy, Happy's always happy, and it's Maurice LaMarche and Kevin Michael Richardson. So imagine those two guys sitting next to each other in a voice session and having to act across from each other as these two. Oh God. And then as the quote unquote villains of the piece, you have Hildy Gloom and Grim Gloom. Hildy is voiced by Kelly Osbourne. Yes, that Kelly Osbourne, Ozzy's daughter, with Jess Harnell being Grim. This show is just amazing. You have Mr. Director Paul Rugg, none other than Paul Rugg, voicing Lord Starchbottom, who is the assistant to Queen Delightful, who is voiced by Lee Allen Baker. The 7D. Absolutely love the 7D. It's such a good, fun show. It's amazing. I don't know why it isn't on Disney Plus. I don't get it, folks. I just don't flip and get it.
No idea.
Okay, so that's the news.
Don't touch that dial. Wait. Maybe?
Yep.
So the next one you brought up.
Well, it's funny because I was like, wait a minute, what is this? Because initially, look, I should have guessed it was not who I thought it was, because I'm like, wait a minute, there's no Junior next to his name. Because anytime I hear the name Downey, who do you normally think of when you hear the name Downey? It ain't who
Robert Downey is. Jr.
Exactly. So. There's a trailer. I'm sure you'll link it. Hopefully you'll remember to link it in the show notes. But there's a trailer out there for something, for a documentary coming later to Peacock about an SNL writer from the 90s called Jim Downey. And the name of the documentary is Downey Wrote That. And it's all about him and his life and the time of the 90s when SNL was really funny in the 90s, and the George Bush stuff, the George Bush senior stuff, and not gonna do it. No, not gonna do it. There you go. I saw that and I was like, ooh, we can talk about this here. And then we can, when it comes out on, I think it comes out October 17th, when it comes out on Peacock, we can watch it. And then we can do a studio episode on it, because my thing is I watched the, and this is why I always say, folks, and I've said this for years, trailers are the advertisements to get me into or out of things. They're the things that either point me in the right directions of things I want to watch or things I don't want to watch, kind of thing. And immediately I was like, okay, I want to watch this and do a podcast about it, because the main takeaway from this trailer I have is how funny all of that stuff was compared to half of Late Night Now not being funny to me. And I'm not even talking about Saturday Night Live Late Night. I'm just talking about Late Night in general, how it's not funny to me. But I'm also talking about how comedy has changed in the last 30 years since this person was a writer on SNL, and how the art of the subtle joke and the art of actually writing good jokes seems to have faded away without a trace on the television screen.
TV's gotten bad. Like, it's just not even funny anymore.
No. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So I saw that and I was like, ooh, idea. Ping. And then you brought to our attention the Buzzsprout helping podcasters with their name generation tool.
Yeah. So what it does is it allows people to find a name to launch with.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses patterns to perform well in podcast apps, supposedly. And it says it optimizes for the radio test. It also checks the name to see if there's mm-hmm. collisions in major podcast directories to ensure that you're not getting a name that someone else has.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what they say. I don't know if it actually works because you give it a description and it will generate stuff. Yeah.
I think I'm going to test it out. Because.
And then it gives you kind of best practices about descriptions and naming and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that.
Yep. Very cool.
But they're also saying a great podcast name is unique.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, it has to be unique. It has to be interesting. It has to be ear grabbing, or it has to be eye catch. Specifically, if you're putting your podcast name out there on social media, like if you're writing it out to promote it on Twitter or Blue Sky or Facebook or wherever, you have to have a name that people are going to look at and be like, I'd check that out.
So it does search Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube Music for podcasts with the exact or a similar name.
Nice. Very cool.
It also searches Google for your podcast title plus podcast, mm-hmm. uses a tool like Name Checker to see if social handles are available. It checks the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office trademark search to see if somebody has already registered your podcast name.
Oh,
so
wow, that's a powerful tool.
That is powerful, and it was just updated in September. And it says, you know, like in their FAQ, our podcast titles copyrighted. It says they are not protected by copyright in the U.S. Your podcast title is protected by a trademark once you use it commercially. Mm-hmm. For added legal protection, some creators fill out a trademark application with the USPTO. Mm-hmm. It says, can two podcasts have the same name? And it says, podcast directories won't reject your podcast for having the same name or as another show, but it's not a good idea. Copying another podcast title makes it harder to build a podcast brand and secure social media handles. You could end up with names too similar to another podcast. I can't tell you how many This Week in Geeks there are.
I don't even want to know.
Technically, the one from Canada is the original.
Yes.
However, there's also another one from Detroit
mm-hmm.
that was started around the same time, and I can't be certain who was first.
Oh, boy.
But it, you know, they, you know, there's like eight of them on there. Plus the acronym This Week, you know, This Week in, and then so like TWIG mm-hmm. is an acronym for a lot. So This Week in Google, This Week in Gaming, this, you know, any of those, they're all TWIG.
Yep.
So theoretically, they should have trademarked. Well, granted, they're in Canada, so it doesn't quite apply, but
yeah, that's a whole other thing.
So I don't know how they would enforce it.
Yeah.
Over here.
Other thing. Yeah.
But still, the point, you know,
yeah,
is the same. Well, it's like
it's just
if you don't manage it, people will take it.
Yeah, that's the And we did. And it's funny that you found this tool and you brought this up to me, and I was like, wait a minute, we did this 3 years ago. Geekcast Radio, episode 297, the podcast naming game. So I'll shoot you that link since I have the page pulled up, and you can put that in the show notes for people to go back and listen to us discuss all of this same thing, but we discussed it 3 years ago too. But yeah, no, it's just ridiculous. And the way I always looked at it was, number one, I want a unique title, but number one, I come up, like if I see a title, I will come up with ideas based off of that title. I will try not to take that title.
Agreed.
But it's one of those things where I just can't help myself of, that's why I try not to be influenced by certain things. And I also think it's a sign of respect to not copy people's titles. Like, I just like, no, don't and stop. Like, I don't know. Like, if someone were to right now, today, come up with their own music podcast about whatever musical thing they wanted to do, and they wanted to call it TuneCast, TuneCast, I don't have a problem with that, because it's different. It still sounds the same as TuneCast, TuneCast. But if it's specifically a music podcast, as long as it's designated a music podcast and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, fine. But the same thing you mentioned with Twig, same thing happened over the years with TuneCast. How many TuneCasts did we run into? Oh, my God. We started that show June 1st. We started it when the network started June 1st, 2009, TuneCast. And after that date, so many other shows. We're a TuneCast. We're a TuneCast. We're a vintage TuneCast. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, and yeah. So, I mean, technically, we have squatter's rights on all of those names. We really do.
I know.
And we could technically enforce it and be a royal pain. I have had to do that with some that had all things Transformers.
Yeah, that's
on true. YouTube. They're like, yeah. Well, I searched it. I didn't see nothing. I'm like, you didn't search very hard.
No, you didn't search very hard. I mean,
it's like, I'm the original all things Transformers.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know where, you know, what village you crawled from, but, you know.
Yeah, because if you had found it, you would have found a show with almost 500 episodes in 17 and a half, 18 years, 20 years, whatever. Like, come on, people, do your jobs, do your research. And the same thing with me. Sometimes I have to sit here and do my research. If I can't come up with a title, because I'll come up with a title and I'll go do my research, and I'll look in iTunes first, because I'll look in the iTunes directory first, and then I'll look at Spotify, and then I'll just go to Google and just type the title in that I'd like to name it. And if it doesn't pop up anywhere, then okay, cool. But again, this Buzzsprout thing, excellent new tool. We need to have this linked in every one of our audio posts going forward, just so people have the information.
Well, I was thinking about it too. I'm like, when I, you know, case my new edition of my book.
Yep.
That sucker's going in it. Because, like, absolutely. Honestly, it's such a pain.
Yep. We need to interview whoever came up with this from Buzzsprout. We need to get in contact with the Buzzsprout people. I'm serious. I want to talk to this person, because that would be cool. Damn. But yeah, so that's the topics, folks. That's all the geekdom we got for this week, I think.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, like uber long.
Well, I mean,
we've been at it about an hour anyway, but
yeah. I mean, unless there's anything else major, I don't think so. Let me check the Google feed and see. Netflix just... cult classic 80s movie gets Netflix TV reboot with a twist. It doesn't even... title doesn't even tell me what the movie is. I'm not clicking that. Nope. Beloved Ant-Man actor wants to return to Marvel as new Morbius. Must have job. Must have job. Give me money. Okay. There's one thing I can talk about before we get out of here, and I'm sure you have something too. What were you going to say? Because you were going to say something before.
I don't know who they were going to have play Morbius.
I mean, I can click on the article still, I think. Let's see. Beloved Ant-Man actor wants to return to Marvel as new Morbius. This is coming from... This is coming from... No, no. Reputable with a twist, I guess. Y Entertainment, superhero hype.
Ant-Man, they're more reputable than that, but yeah, I mean...
Okay, yeah.
But they still not...
I've never heard of this person. David Dasmussen wants to be Morbius in the MCU. Previously played Kurt in Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp. I don't even know who the hell Kurt is. I only ever saw Ant-Man, and I don't even remember watching Ant-Man. I know I saw the movie, but I don't remember. The Ant-Man movies were not that memorable to me. No clue. But apparently he wants to play Morbius. Again, his name is David Dastmalchian, Dastmalchian.
I wonder if he's the guy that played Darren.
He played Kurt.
Whoever that is, I don't.
It said,
yeah. I'd have to look at the article just to even know who that is. I don't know either. I don't like Morbius as a character anyway, so that's, yeah.
He was only ever done right in animation, I think. There's the article. It's in Messenger. But while you're looking at that, I will say really quickly, even though I'm waiting till it eventually hits Disney Plus, because I don't go to the theaters anymore, I am really stoked for Tron Ares. Everything I've seen so far, it just, oh man, just really cool. And we already know that it is not picking up where Legacy left off. It is a new story. It does still have Kevin Flynn, obviously, but
I think he's just a cameo.
Yeah, he is.
I think is sad.
Well, it is very sad, but it seems like he's, I don't know. Hopefully it's longer than a cameo. Hopefully the cameo leads to something. Hopefully they don't wait another 15 flumping years. Hopefully that they get to the story that they were going to tell with, you know, Tron Ascension or Tron whatever the original third movie was going to be. I don't know if they ever will, but you got the thing or no?
Yeah, I've looked at it. I recognize that's who I thought it was talking about, because okay. The guy plays a lot of weird characters anyway. Like he has that look where he can
okay.
realistically play like just about any weird character.
Okay. No clue. But no, like everything, like they just released a trailer for Tron Ares where it's a legacy type trailer where they introduce you to the original film from 82, then the legacy film from 2011, or was it 2010? Anyway, whatever, from Tron Legacy, and then they get you into Ares, and I'm just like, okay, that was one of the coolest trailers I've ever seen. Like, yeah, no, so very, very cool. And I've heard the score to or soundtrack to the movie because it's out. Nine Inch Nails do a really good job. I'm not the biggest fan of the vocal tracks, but the instrumentals do very, very well. I like, I think, two of the vocal tracks. There's one just sounds really, really weird. But overall, I'm excited to see it eventually once it hits Disney Plus.
Yeah, I agree. I don't go to the theater anymore. So I'm interested in, you know, when they put it on Disney Plus and then seeing the film. I did enjoy the first two, so
yeah,
but I enjoyed Legacy much much better than the first one, because obviously it was made decades later.
82, yeah. Yeah, and even me, so like I was 2 years old when the first movie came out, so I had never seen the first Tron. It just never, there are certain movies that just don't cross my radar, that just don't. And you'd think that with Tron being what it is, that I would want to get into that. And I really enjoyed it. I really dug it. I thought it was great. I had to find a copy of it at the time in 2011 before I went and saw the Tron Legacy, went and saw Tron Legacy in theaters. But I was like, okay, I need to catch up with this. And then I dove into all the music, the original score, the Daft Punk score for Legacy. And like I said before, a moment ago, the new Nine Inch Nails soundtrack for the Aries show, it's so good. It really, really is. One or two vocal tracks off of an entire instrumental soundtrack. Out of all of that, one that I don't like is not going to have me saying, oh my God, it's the worst ever. I would never do that. But yeah, no. So Tron Ares, go see it, folks. It's out October 10th, 2025. Here's hoping it does well. I've been seeing a lot of people outside of me saying that I'm waiting for Disney Plus, and that's specifically because I don't go to theaters anymore because of my disability, and I've lived in the town that I live in now here in Indiana for 3 years. I wouldn't even know where a movie theater is in this town. So, you know, that's my own personal thing, but I've seen a lot of people say, I'm not going to the theater for that. I'm not going to the theater, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure, fine. I do hope it does well, because I want another one eventually. I want them to eventually tell the story that they were supposed to tell 15 years ago.
Yeah, I wish that they'd continued Legacy.
Yeah.
But so I think that about wraps this episode up. And until next time, you guys can comment on the episode post on the website, geekcastradio.com. You can, of course, send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com as well. You can find us on the social medias. I'm on X or Twitter or whatever they want to call themselves today, tomorrow, next year. So you can find me on there at SCP-21 and yourself, sir.
I don't understand why you would call a website a letter. www.x. Don't do that. I'm on Twitter at TF2 and Mike.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
To new sci-fi dreams. With every episode, we'll unravel the themes. Let's geek out and laugh, keep the spirits high. Together we'll journey, reaching for the sky. Gathering in. Join the discussion, let's dive into lore. From Star Trek to Transformers, we're ready to soar. Superheroes clash as we spark up the flame. Alter Geek Podcast, remember the name.